welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. I'm Liz Loza, joined today by my good friend and 49ers super fan, Dalton Del Don. So yes, today we're going to be previewing the two conference final games. I'm sure Dalton will have plenty to say, but before we do, Dalton, let's check in on your family's blood pressure because they've had to deal with you and dealt with you through that incredible game at Lambeau.
Yeah, I don't have any kids stories for you, Liz, but I have an embarrassing one. I told it on the XM Sirius show, so I might as well tell it here. During the win over the Cowboys, I jumped up and landed awkwardly on the side of my couch, and the sound of the ankle made this not so great sounding crack.
Oh, no.
And it's bad, Liz, like no joke. You don't even want to see the pictures. It swelled bad. It's been 2 weeks almost now, and the top of my foot is black. It broke some sort of tendon because it went all the way to my toes. It's bad. I'm hobbling around here, but it's embarrassing. Yes, I suffered an injury while celebrating a 49ers win, so it's pretty embarrassing.
Well, look at you. I feel like you're just that in sync with Trent Williams, that you're both gutting through these ankle injuries. I mean, that's it. It's how you were just so in tune with the Niners faithful. I have a Niners faithful. So a little peek behind the curtain here for our listeners. Every Monday, we dutifully get on a group fantasy call with our boss, Jason Klobaka, and other bosses and people and orgs. And anyway, Dalton and I are always on it. We're on it on Monday. And Dalton, you want to share with our listeners the hack you found as a Bay Area resident coming to Los Angeles, given the recent ticket restrictions that the Rams were trying to place on the sale of these tickets?
Yeah, they did on Sunday. They attempted to, maybe get me in trouble here. But you had to be an LA resident. So I had to use my buddy's credit card to buy the tickets on Sunday. They eventually immediately pulled that away. And now the reports are like 65% have been sold in Northern California. So it could be a sea of red again. But they tried some shenanigans on Sunday. Wouldn't let just anyone buy the tickets. So I'd use a buddy's credit card and his billing information to originally get the tickets. But yes, the wife and I are going to make the trek down south. It's probably a bad decision. That'll be a miserable ride home after them losing. Actually, I have a bad feeling for this. I was pretty confident the last couple weeks in the Niners, but this is the setup here. It's tough having beaten this team six straight times and everyone's on them. I don't love the setup. We'll get to that, but I'll be there. I'll be there either way. Never been to SoFi. I heard the parking's just a total nightmare, but a $5 billion stadium, looking forward to it.
Well, Levi's parking is pretty
atrocious. Oh, yeah, it sucks too.
Oh,
it's horrible too. Yeah,
so
no
if you've
question.
You've got that under your belt. I'm sure you're going to be fine. But yes, I love that you said the Rams tried to pull some shenanigans. And in fact, it's the 49ers who are upping them with shenanigans. Get it? Okay, let's
love
move
it.
On.
Love it. Oh, he owns it in McVay's head, as they say. Questions literally. Is he in? Yeah, Shanny, let's go.
All right, so let's talk about some news first. The New Orleans Saints, they're going to need a head coach because before his deal was even up, Sean Payton made the decision to step away, though he did add when speaking to the media that he didn't feel like his football career was over, just that, his time in New Orleans was probably done. I'm not too terribly surprised. He's certainly a head coach that got used to a winning quarterback and a winning team. And that was not the case last year. A lot of question marks. It might seem like, into his 50s now, Sean Payton was like, I'm too old for this bleep.
Right when his movie comes out, too, I believe. He left the door open, though. There'll be Dallas speculation 1 year from now, no question.
That Brinks truck is going to back up.
Yeah.
Someone's going to back it up for him.
For sure. It's a good time to be a 49ers fan, not only, in the conference championship and Trey Lance there, but the NFC might legitimately lose Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Sean Payton, and maybe even Russell Wilson for kicks, too. I mean, the conference literally might lose some of its very best players if, Rodgers goes to Denver, Brady does retire, and Sean Payton, that New Orleans franchise has been one of the best in the conference for the last decade.
Really, really incredible. I also wonder what this means for Michael Thomas, who, yes, he was recovering from surgery last year, but you and I both know he made a business decision at a certain point into the season, once he looked at the Saints' record and the amount of dysfunction. He's obviously holding a bit of a grudge against the franchise as well, too. So I wonder if he'll be returning to New Orleans as well.
And the the one other big fantasy key here is Taysom Hill, because maybe not a great real life player, but awesome fantasy player. And Peyton, you know, it was Peyton, a big backer in Peyton. So the loss of him may mean less chance of Taysom Hill being the starting quarterback. Like, when he's out there, he's a top 10 fantasy guy. So I'd say that might be impactful here with this decision too.
It's another good point. All right, let's talk about my team for a second. Well, one of my teams, I feel like I got the Bears, I got the Rams, I got the Chargers. I kind of like the Chargers the most of all of them, but hey, they're not in the playoffs. Neither are the Bears, but the Bears are a topic of discussion because they hired their new GM, Ryan Poles, replacing Ryan Pace, and their new head coach, the Colts former now defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus. So it looks like we're bringing back Ryan and Matt, but at least the last names change here. Little bit of, so I will say, you know, I'm actually happy about this coaching change. I know a lot of people were really upset because the focus, as it always is offense and the quarterback position, Justin Fields, this electric skill set, and really wanting a coach that could develop that and give the Bears a franchise quarterback, a winning franchise quarterback for the first time since Sid Luckman. But if you are looking at that, the narrative of the Bears has always been their defense. You don't have to grow up in Chicago to know about the monsters of the Midway and the 85 defense. And what Matt Eberflus has done in Indianapolis over the past 3 years is remarkable. I'm frankly surprised that he didn't get more interest prior to now. For those of you who don't know, he comes, he's one of these Rob Ryan guys. He was the linebackers coach in Cleveland with Rob Ryan, then followed Rob Ryan to Dallas, was there from 2011 to 2017, linebackers coach and then passing game specialist, and then eventually moved and got a promotion to Indianapolis. This I thought was telling too. He was, remember in 2018, Josh McDaniels, who's again getting a bunch of buzz, was supposed to come and leave the Patriots and be the new head coach of the Colts. And then he backed out of that deal. And that's how Frank Reich ended up there. And McDaniels had already tapped Eberflus to be the DC under his regime. And when Frank Reich came in, he liked enough of what Eberflus was selling that he decided to keep him. And, you know, it's worked. In 2017, the Colts defense finished 27th in total defensive DVOA. Over the past two seasons, they've been a top 8 ranked unit in total defensive DVOA. Like, admittedly, the passing defense regressed a little bit this year, but I still rush defense solid as ever. And I think that what Eberflus is able to do is scheme things up that is at a higher level than the talent at his disposal. So I am very interested in him bringing, especially with the talent, when healthy, the Bears have, that defense up to a higher level. And I'm going to guess he learned a little bit from Frank Reich over these past few years and lean into some of the decision-making, make some tweaks. And I liked what Lazor did once he was able to call a couple of plays. So I feel like that continuity for Fields might actually work in his favor and the team's.
Yeah, I don't have a strong take here, but I will say there's no reason not to be excited about the hires. Everything I've read about Ryan Poles seems very exciting. And I personally was hoping for an offensive coordinator, but that's just the fantasy guy in me, an offensive mind to be hired. But sure, as a Bears fan, I see no reason why not to be excited for the future. Because, yeah, obviously the past regime didn't work out. And let's move forward with a ton of really interesting, exciting, especially at the skill position players with Montgomery, Fields, Komet, and Mooney. Like, those four guys are really, really exciting.
I agree. All right. So, you know, the Bears fans have been used to Nathaniel Hackett being a thorn in their sides because he's been the offensive coordinator of the Packers. But, oh, wait, hold up. The Broncos just hired him to be the team's new head coach. They scooped him before his second interview with Jacksonville. And coincidentally, he was the OC in Jacksonville from 2016 to 2018. And we all remember how he led the Jags to the AFC title match in 2017. Of course, none of that matters. Nobody cares about Jacksonville in this equation. Everyone is just wondering, thinking, hoping, predicting that this move makes things all the easier for Aaron Rodgers and maybe Devontae Adams, but let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers to move to Denver.
frustrating living in California, tougher to get bets down. I'd love some futures on the Broncos next season. Hardly, it's not hardly a secret, though. I bet the odds aren't that long because the writing's on the wall for Rodgers possibly going there with a solid defense. And talk about impressive skill position players. So, yeah, the Broncos could immediately become one of the AFC favorites if he does follow his OC there. Conversely, it could actually end up being a trade. And Jerry Jeudy could go from being super excited having Rodgers throw to him to be end up in Green Bay and having Jordan Love throw to him. So don't be shocked if a trade makes some moving pieces here. But I do expect at this point Rodgers to go to Denver, because here's what, if for no other reason than even like Packers fans have moved on. Honestly, most of them are like, they're basically over Rodgers for not just the off-field stuff, but apparently not coming through in the playoffs lately. So to me, it seems like for both cases, even though toward the end of last season, I was more convinced he was going to return the way, you know, the postseason ended again. It's just recency bias. But if I had to guess now, I would say Rodgers ends up in Denver. What do you think, Liz?
All right, two things. Number one, I totally understand why that's the prevailing thought. I found this quote, which comes from Wes Hodwitz, who is a Packers.com digital reporter. And in November of 2020, obviously in his MVP year, Rodgers said this about Hackett: "There's nobody in the building that brings me more joy or is more fun to be around than Nathaniel Hackett." Okay, that's a big tell, because we know that Aaron Rodgers isn't necessarily full of platitudes if he doesn't feel like it. But I will say it's interesting that Rodgers, you know, I know all these guys are super competitors and think that they can beat everyone, but now Rodgers is going to go from battling Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, and Andy Dalton, I guess, to Mahomes and Herbert season. And so I'm like, okay, bring it. Like that, but yes, I would love to see Justin Herbert own Aaron Rodgers at SoFi.
No, it's a tough debate for sure. Yeah, those quarterbacks, but the Broncos still have, like I said, a pretty underrated defense. They suffered some injuries this year. And I will note that as much as I like Patrick Surtain as the next guy, the Broncos needed a quarterback and they drafted him ahead of Justin Fields. And I have to think that they had some assurances that Rodgers was maybe possibly coming 1 year later. That's just, maybe it's just crazy speculation, but you're right though. It won't be the easiest division that he's been used to. At this stage of his career, it'd be wild coming off an MVP and then switching conferences. I mean,
also,
it'd be fun,
like,
for the league.
He's not likable. Like, the, I mean, yeah, not no, even...
I get he's the villain now, for sure. I mean,
but
I understand
But it's not
that.
Even this year and the COVID and the toe and the Pat McAfee. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the Tyler Dunn article. Like, folks don't like him. His players don't like him. That's why he keeps pulling Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb out of retirement, because they're the only ones who are willing to put up with him. And I just can't imagine. To me, this is a trap, because as good as he is, and I'm not denying that, and as much as people want to play with the best, rapport is a thing. We saw OBJ, very talented. Rapport didn't work out for him. And now he's like crushing in Los Angeles because, yes, he has a better quarterback, but also, and Scott Pienowski made this point, I believe, on Monday's pod, the team is better able to massage his ego. How do we know that Rodgers is going to be able to develop rapport with Tim Patrick, one of the most underrated outside receivers in the NFL, and Cortland Sutton, who, you know, had a down year this year, and that entire organization immediately? Is he going to pull a Tom Brady and have these off-season workouts like in his backyard and be roommates with everybody? I mean, I don't know, but like, it's rapport is a thing, and it might take more than a minute to get settled.
He is back talking to his brother Jordan, I have heard. So maybe Aaron is changing his ways. But I hear you. I'll throw this scenario at you. He does join the Broncos. Melvin Gordon signs elsewhere. How early is Javonte Williams getting drafted?
Oh, he's
second
a
overall.
Pick. He's a first
seriously,
round.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. He was in my rookie review article, and he is likely to be unleashed. I don't even think he gets past like the 10 spot, honestly.
Yeah. 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 It'll be a storyline to follow, but people are definitely rooting against Rodgers, it seems. Like, I don't think he's going. I mean, even retiring is not out of the question for him, but I doubt it. I think he probably won't want to go out like that.
By the way, I love the Bachelor Nation drop. You're my favorite, Dalton. All right, let's talk about Dan Quinn, because he's taken his name out of the running for the open head coaching position, for all of the open head coaching positions, and there are quite a few to fill. He is instead choosing to return as the Cowboys defensive coordinator next season. Can't blame him, because my goodness, did he turn that unit around. Dallas's defense was one of the biggest surprises of the season. I mean, it kind of tanked the fantasy life of the offense in many ways. We talked about it week after week. I mean, they closed out the season number 2 in total defensive DVOA, which is a very big jump from number 23 in 2020 under Mike Nolan.
Yeah, great job by Quinn. Some of these coaches are just far better in their coordinator positions than as head coach. Obviously, we just saw Quinn fail at Atlanta, so it makes sense to me. He's in a great situation. I'm sure he's making plenty of money. And yeah, it makes sense to me, actually, sticking to where he is. And he's not going to get any of the criticism, too. You know, he has a head coach there that's going to be the lightning bolt for that, too. So yeah, I can totally understand why he made this decision.
Love that. Dan Quinn might be the most self-aware member of the Dallas Cowboys organization. Just, I want to be the second banana. I want to make the money. I'm set. Thank you. Don't need to be a star.
Yeah, there are certainly absolutely. You're right. Self-aware is a great way of putting it, because there are other coordinators who probably would not have done it. Give me a second chance, you know, give me another chance. And then you join a franchise with, you know, high draft pick, with bad roster, and then you just do the same circle again, you know? I mean, yeah, so I totally can understand.
Ben Roethlisberger made his retirement official after 18 years in Pittsburgh. I thought this was funny. Tom Brady tweeted out that Ben defied the TB12 method, in all caps, in favor of the throw some ice on it method his entire career, and ended up an all-time great with 6 Pro Bowls and 2 Super Bowls. There's more than one way to bake a cake. I don't know why Brady's talking about cake, because I doubt he eats carbs or sugar, but I did think it was an interesting, if not backhanded, but still sweet homage to Big Ben.
Yeah, no, it's funny because, Big Ben, I'm guessing, did not quite take his offseason as seriously as Brady, but got it done. And obviously, longevity, it shows, you know, their career. But nice of Big Ben to not make a way to wait this out. You know, wasn't certain he's going to retire, but now he is. Curious who's going to be quarterback. I don't buy the Mason Rudolph as their starter next year. Obviously, big fantasy ramifications with all the receivers there and Najee Harris. So, Big Ben, nice career. Did not certainly end super well, but at least he didn't drag it on even further.
It feels like the Steelers are in for something similar to what the Saints went through this year, because, you know, at least I haven't dug into as much college ball as, you know, I normally start to study that stuff deeply in March or after the Super Bowl. But from what I am reading and gathering, the quarterback talent in this year's draft class is not robust, but perhaps in the 2023 class, there could be some real prospects. And so it feels like, I don't know, they might just try to hit pause. It might be interesting. I also wouldn't be surprised. And I don't know, there's a lot of planets that need to align for this to happen, but stranger things have occurred. Derek Carr ending up in Pittsburgh. I don't think it'll go well because he's such a California kid, but and such a West Coast guy, but that would not shock me.
That'd be an interesting one. But yeah, I hear the same thing. It doesn't sound like this QB class is anything exciting whatsoever for rookies coming out. So it would be, next year. So that'll be definitely a situation to follow, because I'm not buying Mason Rudolph at all. Derek Carr is an interesting one.
Yeah. I don't know what that would, Chase Claypool, to me, I'm writing the biggest fantasy questions, and I've broken it up into 2 different articles because there are just so many players with big questions, many more than last year, maybe because, 2020 was just a question mark in itself. But Chase Claypool, after underwhelming this year, but also having plenty of excuses given Ben Roethlisberger's YPA, right? And Juju Smith-Schuster becoming a free agent is one of those biggest question marks to see what would happen. And obviously, Deontay Johnson, even if the quarterback talent is the same as Ben Roethlisberger or less than, we know, or we're expecting that the volume will be enough for him to be a fantasy contributor and a pretty good fantasy contributor. But Claypool just didn't show up in the moments in which he was targeted. He didn't really capitalize. So many drops. He didn't capitalize on the high value targets. But, if Juju Schuster doesn't return, he would, in theory, have quite an opportunity. And so the quarterback talent, I think, maybe could elevate him or give him, certainly, I bet he'll go up in drafts because people are just so attached to the talent potential that he comes with.
Yeah, Claypool's super interesting. He scored 11 touchdowns total his rookie year, and then this year was a disaster. You can easily blame it on Big Ben. I saw a tweet recently suggesting he really also struggled with separation and single coverage. Could have been playing through an injury as well. He certainly looks the part, like a future guy that should be getting double-digit type touchdowns. Freiermuth did emerge as an elite red zone guy. But yeah, who becomes quarterback there, and if Juju returns or not will be big, because yeah, Claypool certainly showed he has a lot of upside. His rookie year and Big Ben obviously struggled throwing balls into the dirt all year long. And Deontay Johnson can't always get the target share that's that high either, too. So, yeah, it's a really interesting situation there in Pittsburgh.
Freiermuth seems to me like I loved him a lot, but I feel like he was also perfect for Big Ben at that stage of his career, you know, as just a red zone machine. Like, not a ton. In many ways, like, Freiermuth was the reverse of Kyle Pitts, right? Like, not a ton of volume, but a ton of touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, I think he dominated looks inside the five, too, even among all receivers right away as a rookie. Exactly the opposite of Pitts, who did everything well but score touchdowns.
Yeah. All right, now that's all the news. We went off on a little bit of a tangent, but so what? It's fun to talk fantasy. We are going to talk about the games now. There are only two to preview. First one up is the number 4 Bengals at the number 2 Chiefs. To get here, Cincinnati beat the Raiders at home and the number 1 seed Titans on the road. And for the Chiefs to get here, they had to beat the Steelers and the Bills at home. We're not going to talk about what a great game everyone got to see, because Lord knows Matt and Scott did quite a job of that on Monday. But Dalton, what is your immediate takeaway on this game? First thing that comes to your mind?
That last game should have been the championship. I'm afraid the Chiefs do roll, but Burrow, Burrow's been good. This is an interesting one. You got to load up on this in DFS. This over-under is about 9 points higher than the other game, which, you know, it could be turn into a defensive battle. But the Rams have gone super run heavy in neutral situations since Akers returned, and the Niners are slow pace. They know each other well. I think in DFS, I mean, obviously it's not contrarian to say it, but really, really low up in this KC Cincinnati game. I mean, Mahomes is 40 in Yahoo. McKinnon's 18, and he's just taken over that role. Although Darrell Williams has returned to practice, McKinnon's running routes, and they're throwing screens like they haven't thrown, even with a healthy CEH, which is just mind-blowing for someone who watched McKinnon struggle for the last few years as a Niner. But with fresh legs, looks good. So, yeah, my general takeaway first is DFS. Even Tyreek Hill's much less than I expected in Yahoo this week. So, yeah, I like loading up in this game.
I agree. The over-under is at 54.5. So you definitely want to take advantage of that. The spread right now, the Chiefs are giving 7.5. You mentioned Darrell Williams. I don't know how I feel about this backfield. We know the CEH is going to be in play. And obviously you mentioned Jerick McKinnon totally showing those fresh legs and dominating. But here's an interesting stat. Per Inside Edge, the Bengals allowed just 2.3 yards per carry when defending in the red zone this season. So to me, I'm not interested in playing around with CEH or Darrell Williams, given what the Bengals have done so close to the goal line in the run game.
And the Bengals have allowed the 5th most receptions and the 6th most receiving yards. So I like McKinnon here is who I wrote up. He ran 41 routes last week. CH ran 11. I know he was supposed to be this receiving back at LSU. It just has not materialized at the pro level. Maybe he doesn't double up the touches if Williams returns. But Derek Gore saw 0 snaps last week. McKinnon saw 53-23 for CEH. So 30 more snaps. Now, I can't promise he won't suddenly show up with dead legs, because that's happened as a Niners. Like, he would play a week and look great, and then his body would fail in the next week. But assuming that's not the case here, and they keep running those screens in a high-scoring game, yeah, I can't guarantee you more than 10 carries, but you could be looking at 15 touches, especially with the Bengals susceptible to giving up those passes to back. So I like him, and it's an interesting choice between you can start them all, but it's an interesting choice between McKinnon's upside and the Chiefs' offense versus Mitchell and Akers. Are both very affordable at $23 and $21, and they have far more safer projected volume. But, you know, I mean, the Chiefs game could turn into a carnival, you know, way more scoring. So it's an interesting decision there.
Only $18, as you mentioned. Let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Hilaire's former college teammate, Joe Burrow. He is $36, by the way, same price as Ja'Marr Chase. That's interesting. I'm not the only one who's a little bit worried about the offensive line, and I think a little bit is an overstatement. I mean, Burrow was sacked 9 times last week at Tennessee. Kansas City sacked him when the two teams met back in week 17 four times. Now, Cincinnati did beat the Chiefs in that regular season game, 34-31. I think what the Bengals were able to do was, if you remember at halftime, the defense made some big adjustments and they were able to keep Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce to a total of 65 yards. But the defense was not able to sack Mahomes a single time or force a single turnover. So I think they're going to have to keep Hill and Kelce contained and also get after the quarterback in a real way. That's not going to be enough, I mean, to beat Mahomes, especially in the postseason. He's 7-1 with 23 touchdowns and one interception in AFC playoff games.
Yeah, in his last eight games, like 20 touchdowns, two picks. And he runs a lot more in the postseason, too. That's fantasy, man. Don't compare his regular season stats. It's been a career thing throughout his career. He just runs more, and it obviously helps for fantasy points. I said to fade Mixon in this game. The Chiefs have allowed just one fantasy back to reach 20 fantasy points since week one. Mixon's been struggling running, too. I know yards per carries and everything, but they've really been struggling to run. I could see them falling behind in this game. So Burrow put up a ton of points in Yahoo DFS, nearly 35 points when he last faced the Chiefs. The Chiefs do have some susceptible cornerbacks. Mathau, Honey Badger, is he healthy? So I could see Burrow going with here too. If you wanted to not use Mahomes, then certainly there's an argument for Burrow and Chase. And maybe this is a game that Higgins goes crazy because it's been a while since he's blown up too. But I would the Chiefs defend tight ends relatively well. I know Uzuma has been getting the targets, but I expect this to be less him, less Mixon, and those receivers and Burrow. You know, they're obviously they want to go down swinging with their best players. So I like Chase and Higgins to just see a ton of targets.
Well, Chase had that career game in week 17. I mean, and again, he's the same price, $36, as Joe Burrow. He went 11 for 266 and three touchdowns. Chavarius Ward got roasted by Chase in that game. By the way, Chavarius Ward's going to be an undrafted free agent at the end of this year. But I am with you on buying the dip on Higgins. I also feel like after a player scores three touchdowns and goes over 200 yards on a team, they remember that and they're going to make an adjustment. And even if it doesn't work overall, I mean, if the Bengals do upset the Chiefs, which I'm not expecting, I think that they might be able to cover. I'd probably take the Chiefs in this one anyway, again, because of Mahomes' record in the playoffs. I still feel like Higgins will probably be the factor getting loose. I wouldn't mind taking a flyer, by the way, if you don't like any of these guys, if you want to pay up for Cooper Kupp and you have a little space elsewhere, but you want a piece of this contest. Tyler Boyd is only $18. Again, I'd prefer T. Higgins at 26 optimally, but I definitely think you want one of these three receivers in your DFS lineup.
It's a great point about past performance not necessarily being indicative, because maybe that just means the defense will focus on stopping that player if they're overly successful the first matchup. So, yeah, you don't just want to look at that. But then at the same time, some schemes work better against others. So that is a tough balance. Another sleeper receiver in this game would be Byron Pringle. Seven targets. I mean, at least seven targets each of the last three games. We scored three touchdowns. Yeah, he's running far more routes than Hardman. So, I like Pringle right there. Dollar less than Ayuk, a couple bucks less than Boyd. I like him as a cheaper wide receiver option this week.
You paying up for Mahomes at $40? I think I would.
Yeah, that's what I did in my lineup and in the column. That's where I would pay up. Yeah, I think it's a safe quarterback. And like I said, the fact that he's running so much in the postseason, I'm paying up for Mahomes in my lineup. Yeah.
You taking the over or the under? And are you taking the Chiefs or the Bengals?
I will take, it's a big over-under. I'll take the Chiefs. I laid the wood on this.
Okay, interesting. I think I take the over in the Chiefs, but that's because I really want a ping pong match of a game. Let's move on to your moment. The number 6 49ers at the number 4 Rams. 49ers have swept the Rams, but a lot of people, as we alluded to at the top of the show, believe that the Rams are due. What say you, Dalton?
Yeah, I mean, all the stats you read, the Niners do match up pretty well. The Rams' advantage on defense is this, they disguise really well. And the way to counter that is by running a lot of pre-snap motion, and no team in football runs more pre-snap motion than the Niners. And then conversely, defensively, Stafford's awesome against the blitz and struggles more against the zone. Niners rarely blitz. They play zone. So I don't know that stuff. You know, you can get too much in the weeds with that. Stafford threw the most interceptions in the NFL this year. I didn't realize that looking at that. I thought it was Burrow, but no, it was Stafford. I think he tied with a couple others. But he's been playing great. My guy, Jimmy Garoppolo. The hope is, and the expectations is indoors, the weather doesn't affect his injuries as bad as outdoors did. But man, during his four playoff wins, not games, just there's wins, he's yet to throw 175 yards and he's totaled one touchdown pass. So it's been pretty wild how they've been winning despite him. But he could play well this week, though, if he's feeling better health wise. He's performed pretty well against the Rams. We'll see the health of Trent Williams. That's key. Left tackle dealing with the ankle sprain, as you said earlier in the show. And he was hobbling around bad at the end of that game. If he does play, it will be far from 100%. But the expectation is he does play. And thankfully, Debo, boy, it looked like he popped a tire at the end last week.
Girl,
but,
when he was hobbling off that field, one leg, he was jumping like a chicken off the field. And I thought, oh, this is it. This is it. But it does look like every expectation is that he is expected to practice this week, though I cannot get my hands on an official practice report, at least at the time of this recording, saying, you know, what he looked like in practice.
Yeah, it just says he's not even listed on the report. But he suffered a Jones fracture in the past, too. So I was worried about his foot especially. But supposedly he's good to go. We'll see. Even Kittle looked a little banged up, but he's not even on the report. And Mitchell, that's maintenance thing with him, hopefully. But both teams look relatively close to full strength, because I believe Whitworth is supposed to return the left tackle for the Rams this week, too. So, I thought the NFL wanted Brady Garoppolo for sure. Like, I knew that was a close game all week, but by that kickoff, I was like, oh, I'm pretty confident in the Bucs. Short travel week for the Rams. The NFL, this is the Brady thing. But, wow, Rams have been impressive. Their defense is awesome. You look at the real nerd stats like win rate. Their defensive line is number one, and their offensive line is number one at win rate in both. So they're pretty strong in the trenches. And obviously Stafford's been an upgrade, and Cooper Kupp's been arguably the best skill position player in the NFL. So should be a fun one.
Cooper Kupp is $40 in our daily game. Again, that's the exact same price as Patrick Mahomes, which I believe is bananas. Cooper Kupp also 13 receiving touchdowns in the red zone this season, which is the most of qualified wide receivers. This is, again, via Inside Edge. The 49ers have allowed 14 receiving touchdowns when defending in the red zone to wide receivers this season, which is tied for fifth most in the NFL. So, given that stat, which certainly boosts the value of Kupp, would you pay up the $40 for him in daily?
100%. You're paying up for Mahomes, you're paying up for Kupp, because Niners are number two in run defense DVOA. I do not expect the Rams to have any success running, so they're going to have to pass more. And they're vulnerable in the back end there. I know they are getting slightly healthier, the Niners. Ambry Thomas is questionable for this game, but Kupp is so good. He's averaged more than a touchdown per game at home. The targets have been there. I do not expect. Tyler Higbee caught two touchdowns during the last matchup. The Niners have defended tight ends well all season. I don't think they'll be able to run. So I think Kupp's looking at 12 to 15 targets at home. He's been money all year. And also to say, there's no even running back to even consider to pay up for on this slate. Or, I mean, I guess you could mix in, but I wouldn't. No, I like going with Kupp and Mahomes, and then there are plenty of bargains like McKinnon at 18 to fill out the rest.
That's interesting. I am going to say this, because I understand why. I mean, I read the stat. I found the stat because I understood why people would pay up for Kupp. But you are going to, I mean, then you're looking at Kupp, probably Pringle, maybe, I don't even think you could add Boyd into that, because all of, you'd have to get Kendall Blanton in as your tight end, because he's, I think, $12 in our daily game. And he caught two passes last week for the Rams. If you're doing that, though, you're looking at Byron Pringle at 16, and then maybe you're taking a flyer on Juwan Jennings and Kendall.
Oh man, you stole it out of my mouth. Yeah. I think it's a good week to punt tight end, actually. I mean, well, Kelsey, pay for Kelsey, or then I think it's 18 for Uzuma is too much against that defense. I think it's either that or go ahead and punt it with a Noah Gray or whatever. Blanton. Yeah. And then you can go cheap on defense, because the Chiefs are 14, only the second most expensive, and Burrow took 9 sacks, as you said last week. He should be throwing it a ton. So, and then, yeah, so I even was able to not only go Mahomes and Kupp, and you get Akers in there, all the touches, and McKinnon. And I even get Tyreek Hill in there for 29. And then you go Juwan Jennings. This is when they last faced each other. He caught two touchdowns. The Rams are vulnerable over the middle of the field. We'll see. I don't think the Niners are going to have super success running the ball against the Rams either. So Juwan Jennings for $11, yes. If you want to pay up for Kupp and Mahomes, it may require you to go bargain binning, dumpster diving for a Juwan Jennings.
All right, so let's say you didn't pay up for Cooper Kupp. I do like Tyreek Hill at 29. That's what I did. Here is like a price point that I think is interesting. Let me read you the stat first. Matt Stafford, $31 in our game, completed just under 70% of passes on the left side of the field, which was QB7. That is where OBJ, who is $24, $5 less than Tyreek Hill, lines up. In fact, he lined up 414 snaps on the left side. The 49ers allowed a completion percentage of nearly 72% when defending passes to the left this season. I am thinking maybe if you want a piece of this Rams offense, and you know what a run OBJ has been on, but you don't want to pay the $40 for Kupp, given that stat, maybe you only have to spend 24.
Yeah, and if you use Kupp and Mahomes, it makes it awfully tough to use Chase, too. And I could certainly see the argument of using Chase. So instead of the one of Rams receiver, go with Beckham. He's been targeted heavily. He's running all the routes. And Van Jefferson's banged up, but it doesn't even matter. And Beckham has been really used in the red zone, too, with the touchdown. So totally would not argue with that. He's looked surprisingly well since joining. That went seamless. I thought it was going to be not so great, but they got him for free in Von Miller, and it's frustrating. The Rams is set up nicely, man. A home championship game, and these guys are seamlessly filling in that offense as needed, and it's I don't know, man, it might be setting up well for them. That, you know, the Super Bowl, funny, went from ever without having a home Super Bowl into back-to-back years now. Home team's gonna be hosting a Super Bowl.
Let's talk about both of these running backs really quickly, because I think that that's also illuminating for next season. Elijah Mitchell's a rookie this year. I know I was all over the Trey Sermon bandwagon. It didn't work out, but he has impressively per PFF 31 runs of 10 plus yards this season, including the playoffs, which is fourth most among all running backs. He's $23 in our daily game. And then you mentioned Cam Akers. Now, both in week 10 and week 18, games in which the 49ers run, I think part of their success was being able to stop the rushing attack that the Rams presented. But Cam Akers wasn't really in the fold. I mean, that week 18 game was kind of like a little dip his toe into it, return a little bit. But he's got these fresh legs. He's $21 in DFS. We know how electric he is. He definitely had some fumbling issues last week. Maybe he atones for those this week. I kind of feel like for the difference in price and the freshness of legs, you mentioned that Elijah Mitchell, you know, is kind of dealing, he's got a maintenance issue, but that doesn't allude to perfect health. For the difference in price, I would take Cam Akers.
I could see it. They're the home favorite by 3.5 points. Trent Williams is banged up to the left tackle for the Niners. Akers, the two lost fumbles last week, and he hasn't exactly popped the eye test returning from a serious injury. But also Stafford missed him on a deep pass. He would have more yardage, and he is just getting all of the work. Sony Michel is nowhere to be found. So Akers at $21, the feature back. Yeah, they're the favorite team at home. So yeah, no argument there. I put him into my lineup, and it's great to see him out there. So for next year, wheels up, because boy, both these teams love Akers and Elijah Mitchell. Elijah Mitchell finished with the highest carry percentage, team carry percentage in the NFL, higher than Najee Harris this year. I mean, the health is definitely going to be a question with him, and you'd love to see more targets. Maybe Mostert returns, but
Mostert's a free agent though, right?
Maybe they'll give him a team deal or whatever, but to bring him back. But Mitchell, Shanahan, he's not had a lead back, a workhorse like this in a Shanahan system. If Lance taking over, yeah, people are going to be talking themselves, him into a, you know, very, very high draft pick.
Do you think they creep inside the top 15, both of them?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I was going to say Mitchell, second rounder, and Akers, yeah, back in first. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I think we're in agreement there. All right, I'm going to ask you last question for this game. Over-under is 45.5. You taking the over or the under?
All right, I will take the we'll go under again. And I'm doing my best trying to jinx it here by picking the Rams. I got to stick with my Niners. We'll pull off an upset by a point. But 21-20.
Okay, and so you're taking the 49ers, who right now are +3.5.
Yeah.
All right, Dalton. Well, I know you and I always text you. I always give it a minute and then text you at the end of a game, assuming it goes positively. I'm sure your phone will be blowing up regardless. I'll be thinking of you. If you need to crash at my place, you and your wife have a bed here at my place. If things go sideways and you just don't want to manage the drive back up because you're too busy celebrating. That's why.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, this is bad. Let's setting myself up. Not only am I just a homer and I care about my home fan like far more than a grown adult should, but also, yeah, this long drive, this whole trip and the tickets weren't cheap. But I have a not so small futures tickets on my Niners, not just the Super Bowl. I have a decent one to win the NFC. So this game would if they win, it would pay for itself. But it's setting up for quite a disaster. But it is what it is. It was a fun football year between the Survivor and now the Niners, you know, pulling off these upsets to a nice playoff run. It's hard to complain at this point. Love talking football with you all year, too, Liz.
Well, thank you. I've always enjoyed it. And, you know, for the sake of Chloe and Mason's college fund, I do hope that Jimmy G is able to pull this off. And also, I just don't want to hear him trending anymore for the reasons he's been trending. That's going to do it for this edition of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. All that's left to do now is sit back and wait for the games on Sunday. Hope you enjoyed the show. You can follow me at LizLoza_FF. You can follow Dalton at Dalton Del Don. And while you're there, make sure you're following at Yahoo Fantasy, Andy Behrens and Scott Pianowski. We'll be back on Monday with a recap of the weekend's action. Maybe Dalton will call in, maybe not. You'll have to download, listen, and discover what happens then. Until then, we're out.